a number of years ago, my boyfriend faced this diagnosis of leukemia, and we were completely in shock, of course. And I'm one of these people that I go into research mode. So the first thing I did, of course, I called LLS, and they provided so much information, more than we used, in fact. And he's now in remission. So we're very, very thankful for that. And that's what made me want to get involved further to help the organization.
That's Beth Granger, and this is Healthcare Confidential. I'm your host, Teresa Jacob Ellis, talking with innovators and experts about health and healthcare in America. Beth Granger is a social media trainer and coach, professional speaker, panelist, and moderator, and the hands-down expert on everything and anything related to the social media platform LinkedIn. This year, she's added another title to her impressive resume, fundraiser. Beth has taken on a volunteer role and accepted a challenge to raise funds for a cause that is near and dear to her, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Beth, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I wanted to start out by talking a little bit about social media. It's ubiquitous and it's certainly not just for the younger generation anymore. Facebook has more than 2 billion with a B users around the globe, and LinkedIn, its more professional cousin, is reporting more than 774 million members. Yet I personally find, especially in healthcare, that there are a lot of people who still don't see the value. Can you explain why you think social media is an important tool?
Oh, for so many reasons. It's specifically in healthcare, are you asking?
No, I mean, across the board for,
Oh.
professionals, our listeners are in healthcare and some aren't, so.
Yeah, well, for so many reasons. One is it allows you to extend the networking and relationships that you already have, because how many coffee meetings can you have in a week, or virtual coffee meetings now? And it allows you to grow a community around, or be part of a community around, topics that are important to you.
So my 23-year-old daughter just this week asked me to help her set up a LinkedIn profile. So the tables are turning. Can you talk about the way specifically that LinkedIn can be leveraged at different stages of a person's career?
Absolutely. So a lot of people still think of it as only the place to go if you're looking for a job and putting your resume essentially out there. But it's so much more than that. So when you're a good time to start your LinkedIn profile is certainly when you're in college. Because yes, as a career building platform, it's a great place to be. You connect with your colleagues, potentially your professors, any people for jobs that you have or internships that you have. And then as you grow in your career, it is a great place to expand your network, share your thought leadership. And it, as a business owner, it's also an amazing place for prospecting and branding.
Is there such a thing as having too big of a network on LinkedIn, or is there an ideal size? I mean, I find I'm connected to people I couldn't even tell you really how I know them.
Yeah, there, I can't give you a number, but everybody should be deliberate about their connection strategy. When I first started, I said to myself, okay, I'm only going to connect with people that either I know or have met, say, at an event. But then what happened is I'd go to a trade show or some kind of event. I'd have a conversation with somebody. We'd connect. If we never spoke again, that's not a very valuable relationship. But I didn't go back and take them out of my network. So I like to think about quality over quantity. But as you go along in your life, you may end up with people, for instance, if you do public speaking and you connect with all the people that were in the room, you might not have conversations with each of them. So there's this some kind of balance between the people that you really engage with and the people that are more of an audience.
Do you have an example of how social media, LinkedIn specifically, can really make a difference in somebody's career? Like a great example of maybe a surprising way that a connection has proven to be very valuable.
Actually, An interesting thing happened to me when 11 years ago, I thought I was looking for a job when actually what I was doing was starting a business. And I saw a job listing and did a little research and found the person on LinkedIn that I thought was the hiring manager. And I just looked at her profile. The next day, she looked at my profile. I reached out to her and I didn't say, "Are you the hiring manager?" I said something about an information interview. She responded because she had looked back at mine because she had an open role different than what I was looking for at the time. And we had an amazing conversation. She wasn't the hiring manager for that role and she was leaving. We've stayed in touch all these years and referred people back and forth to each other.
So you, I love that story, and I've heard you say before that you thought you were looking for a job and you were actually starting a business. So how did you get into this particular field of work?
Well, when I said out loud, "That's it, I'm in business," I didn't have a business plan or any plan for how I was going to do it. And all the relationships I had built turned into projects based on everything that I had ever done in my past. So, website project management, corporate identity and branding, social media strategy. And one of my clients that I had done their social media strategy and I was doing some writing for them said, "Hey, our sales team's coming in next month. Can you teach them how to use LinkedIn?" And it led me down this path to where over the years I narrowed my focus to specifically LinkedIn. And yeah, completely, I mean, not exactly accidentally, but not in any planned
Yeah,
way.
sort of serendipitously, right? And which is how so
Yeah.
many good things in life sometimes happen.
Absolutely.
So, is there a downside? Like, is there a dark side to social media, to LinkedIn? Does it rob us of productivity at work?
Well, that could be a conversation for an entire podcast, certainly, but specifically, I won't go into what I think the dark side of other platforms are because I think some of them have some very dark sides. On LinkedIn specifically, I don't think it robs us of productivity if you're deliberate about your behavior and why you're there. The things that are problematic there, I would say, are typically not the behavior that you or I would do, but it's the behavior that happens that annoys us and makes us maybe not want to spend as much time there. So the connect and pitch, the very famous connect and pitch, where somebody you connect with someone typically that you don't know, and the next thing that happens is you get a sales pitch, and it's annoying and it makes you kind of feel annoyed with the platform and the people. So, but other than that, really, there's very little because it's people's careers, people are sort of on their best behavior. So there's less likely to be arguments and
Politics. Yeah. So
exactly.
that brings up a great point. What is proper LinkedIn etiquette? So you don't want to get those connections that message you and immediately say, "Hey, I want to sell you my product, my platform." You also don't want to be that person.
100%, you don't. That it's especially for salespeople, they're eager, they want to, make their numbers, but you have to have the patience to build real relationships. And that kind of behavior is just annoying. I don't know what percent of people respond, and I don't know who's guiding people that this is the way to do it, but it really, for the most part, isn't. I actually spoke to somebody who I know and like who was using that type of behavior. And I said, "Don't you care that people are going to get mad and not want to do business with you?" And he said, "No, because they're not my customer. I only care about the people that respond." So that was his
Okay.
honest answer. It's not how I choose to do business, but
So is there a role for a salesperson to use LinkedIn, and what is the better way for
oh,
them to use
yes.
it if not?
Yes, so it's a great prospecting tool. It's a great tool to find people that might be your ideal client. And then what I prefer to do is see if I can either get an introduction to them because of a common connection or introduce myself in a way that isn't salesy and don't immediately go into sales mode.
So what, give us an example of how that might look.
Well, okay, this is real sneaky. Don't tell anyone except for whoever's listening to this podcast. If the person you're trying to get in touch with is not connected to you, so you can't get an introduction, or even if you can, but maybe that person doesn't know them well, if they are active on LinkedIn, and by active, I mean that they share content, they engage with content, you can find some of their content that interests you and authentically engage with it. Read it or consume it, if it's a video, whatever, and then respond. You're starting a conversation with somebody. So then if after, and they're likely to write back if you comment on their post, then if you send them a connection invite, they're so much more likely to want to connect with you because they know you, you've had a conversation.
Yeah, and it is really almost like the same rules that apply to somebody you would meet at an in-person event, right? You wouldn't just go up to them and say, hi, here's my card, buy my product. You would start a conversation.
And I use that example all the time. I say, if you're wondering if you should do a certain thing or say a certain thing on LinkedIn, think about if it was in person, would you do it?
Yeah, I probably stole it from you. I've probably heard you say it. So what about the effect of the pandemic? Has your business been impacted by that in a negative or a positive way? Are more people engaging on social media because we can't be together?
Yes, absolutely. I've been very lucky right from the first week of lockdown. People realized, uh-oh, we can't go about business the same way that we had in the past, and let's see how we can use these online tools more effectively.
A lot of people, to go back to that dark side, have privacy concerns about social media. It's an ongoing conversation with government and business. What's your take on that regarding social media sort of generally and then LinkedIn specifically?
Privacy in terms of their personal life and people knowing things about them?
Yeah, or the platforms themselves that are, you know, sort of culling information about us and what are they doing with that information? And
I tend to feel that our information is already out there. So if you Google yourself, you're going to find, you know, where you lived when you were six is out there. So
yeah, so don't use that only, as a password, right, by the way.
Right, and only put information in a platform that you are okay with people knowing.
Yeah. Some people don't want to, they just don't feel comfortable engaging on social media because of that. They feel like they would prefer to keep their lives more private. So I think it is, do you think it's a personality type? Is it a generational thing?
I haven't noticed any common factor about people who are kind of afraid of or apprehensive about social media. You know, I know plenty of people, people might say, oh, well, older people. Well, I know plenty of older people who, especially on Facebook and they're even on TikTok. So yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If there's any common factor that I've noticed anyway.
Here's another thing that I love about you and what you do, that you are the queen of the insider tips and tricks, and you know so many things, cool things that you can do on LinkedIn. I, for example, this morning I went and looked at your profile and your profile picture started talking to me. And I was like, I've never seen that before. That's amazing. How did you do it? And can you share any other tips with us?
Yes, that's a newish feature called Cover Story. And it allows you to put a video behind your photo on your profile. And it's supposed to, when you come to someone's profile, it's supposed to move without sound so that they, you know, it's there. I've never seen it move. So I don't know if it's my browser, but I know that it's there. And I think it's an amazing thing because video is so powerful, seeing somebody, hearing their voice. And I'm playing with it. I'm using it in different ways. And I've seen people use it in different ways, depending on what your goals are on LinkedIn. So job search, it's a great introduction or elevator pitch, essentially. Business owner, share a tip, including, you only have 30 seconds, so fit in what you can. But I think it's a wonderful tool, and I might experiment with, I've already done different cover stories each month. For instance, for something we may talk about in a little bit, I may change my cover story to promote that specific event.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I know I was at an event where you were speaking and you had everybody take out their phones and open their LinkedIn, and we were all able to connect with one another. Can you tell about that tip a little bit?
Yeah, they've turned that specific feature off during COVID. It was called Find Nearby. And if everybody went to the same spot and turned it on, it would look in a certain amount of space around, circle around you and find the other people. There still is something you can do if you're in person where there's a little symbol inside the search box and it brings up a QR code. One person brings up the code, the other puts their scanner over it, and it brings you right to their profile so you can connect with them.
Awesome. So you are such an early adopter of not only these new kind of features in LinkedIn, but also newly emerging platforms. And you recently jumped on the bandwagon with an audio-only platform called Clubhouse. Can you talk a little bit about Clubhouse?
Sure. So for somebody who hasn't heard about it, it's kind of like being at a conference, and there are all different breakout rooms on any topic you could think of in the world, and you can go to any breakout room. There are clubs where people will, you can follow a club, and that typically has a certain theme or topic. And when in a breakout room, you can raise your hand and be part of the conversation. You can just listen, almost like a podcast. You can hold your own breakout room. So you can say, I feel like talking about whatever, and you start a room and people join you. And it's really interesting, and there's a lot of creativity and experimentation going on right now.
And a lot of really prominent folks are on there, and you can have an opportunity to listen in and engage with all kinds of different people, right?
Absolutely.
So tell
Absolutely.
us, from your perch, what's the next big thing?
Oh, I wish I knew. I
You'd
don't
be
know.
investing.
For me, I haven't jumped in to make content there yet, but from a consumer standpoint, I'm really enjoying TikTok, I have to say. It's sort of an escape for me. It's just a lot of fun. And initially, I didn't think it would have any business use, but I know a sales trainer who is doing amazing things there and getting clients. So
That's
I don't
very
know. I
cool.
may jump in, try
Yeah.
it. I'm also exploring something called Polywork, which is, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like a more social LinkedIn. And I'm still so new to it that I don't know if I really have any thoughts or insights about it yet, but I'm exploring
Okay,
it.
good. We'll have to stand by and wait for more details on that. So we're going to take a brief break right now, but we will be back in a moment. Don't go away. We're going to talk more with Beth Granger about social media and also her fundraising project. So don't go away.
Healthcare Confidential is brought to you by Prescriptive Communications LLC. Analyze, strategize, connect. That's our prescription for healthcare marketing. Prescriptive Communications puts healthcare businesses in front of the audiences they need to reach. If you're ready for a diagnostic on your marketing efforts, get in touch with Prescriptive today. Call us at 631-606-0525 or visit prxcommunications.com. That's 631-606-0525 or prxcommunications.com.
Welcome back to Healthcare Confidential. We're here with Beth Granger, social media trainer, coach, and speaker. And Beth, I wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about the challenge that you've taken on with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. You have set a fundraising goal. I think it's $10,000. Is that right? That's a pretty hefty goal. So tell us how what that is all about.
So, oh, where to begin? A few years ago, actually, I was even before this. So, where it really began is in the networking group that I'm involved in. The previous executive director for the Long Island chapter was in the group. And so I got to know her, and I did a LinkedIn training session for one of the fundraising committees, which she said ch completely changed how they went about finding people, and I thought that was amazing, and it felt really great. So I knew of the organization. And then a number of years ago, My boyfriend faced this diagnosis of leukemia, and we were completely in shock, of course. And I'm one of these people that I go into research mode. So the first thing I did, of course, I called LLS, and they provided so much information, more than we used, in fact. And he's now in remission. So we're very, very thankful for that. And that's what made me want to get involved further to help the organization. One of the things people might not know is because blood is so easily tested in a way that other things aren't, the research into leukemia and lymphoma has led to treatments for so many other kinds of cancer. So very special organization, and I'm excited to be involved.
So you are working on something called the Executive Challenge. What is that?
So that's a group of people who try to get organizations involved in having teams and being part of fundraising for the Light the Night Walk, which I believe will be virtual this year, but which is their biggest fundraiser of the year. And now we're in the personal fundraising phase. So we've done the part where we get teams from companies, although if somebody wants to, they certainly can still start a team. And now I'm in the personal fundraising part. So I'm putting on an event in about a month called LinkedIn Local. These are events that I've been holding 3 or 4 years now, I think. And they were part networking, part education, not necessarily about LinkedIn, all different topics. And so I'm holding a virtual event with networking and some education and special activities. I'm waiting to hear about something very special, so I can't share that yet, but it should be a lot of fun. And all the funds will go towards the campaign.
It's so difficult with COVID, and I know that you even initially thought maybe this would be an in-person event.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's been a challenge, but I have to say I haven't noticed that LLS has taken a big hit to their fundraising because they're such an amazing organization. I feel that it's been something that people have continued to support.
I hope so. Certainly hope so. And they have some on the New York Metro team, they have some people who are just amazing and driven and make big asks. So it works.
Yeah. And it's the kind of organization that you feel really good about supporting. So I just to share my own connection in 2019, I formed a team that we ultimately raised $35,000 for LLS as part of their Long Island Man and Woman of the Year challenge. And that was an amazing experience that allowed me to work alongside friends and colleagues and know that we were all contributing to a really great cause. And you, Beth, supported my effort at that time. So I want to thank you for that. But this is, and by the way, our $35,000 was just a pittance compared to what some of the other people that year raised. It was amazing. And I think altogether, we, 8 of us almost raised $1 million that year for the cause. So mine was a very small piece of that, but every little bit helps. So are there other activities that you're doing in support of this fundraiser? Is the LinkedIn Local your main event?
That's going to be my main event, of course. I'll be doing outreach by potentially regular mail and email and social media and all different other ways. But yes, this is my big event.
Okay. And Light the Night is when?
Light the Night is Thursday, November 4th.
Oh, okay. And you think it's going to be a virtual?
It is going to be virtual, yes. You know, the challenge of in-person, especially for this organization, is what was so amazing about the in-person event is you had survivors and supporters and all different people walking. So some of those people walking could be immune compromised. So I think they're being very smart, especially for this community, to keep it virtual this year.
Yeah. And you alluded very briefly to the fact that that the research that's funded by LLS can cut across so many different, not only cancers, but other diseases because of the kind of the translational nature of that research. And I know that, for example, on my team, when I was involved with this effort,
I had a very dear friend who had just recovered from breast cancer and felt that the research that LLS was funding could also impact breast cancer patients and treatments as well. So Beth, tell us how people can get involved with your LinkedIn local fundraiser.
So that event is going to be on September 23rd at 5 p.m. Eastern. And because it's virtual, you can be from anywhere and you can join us. We're going to be networking and activities that I can't talk about yet because they're still forming. But you can find out more about it at bit.ly/LinkedIn Local is back.
Excellent. And if somebody is not able to be at the event, but they would like to support you with a donation, how can they do that?
Ah, yes. So if they go to that link in the descriptive text, there is a link to be able to do that. I think my URL is too long to share and have anybody remember it. So if they go to bit.ly/LinkedIn Local is back, in the descriptive text, there is a link if somebody wants to do that.
Perfect. Okay. And then just to circle back to your business interests, if somebody is interested in working with you, so tell me a little bit about that. How do you work with clients? Is it with individuals, groups, companies? What does an engagement look like with you?
All of the above. I work with both organizations and individuals in different ways. Sometimes it's as simple as a profile transformation, building a business page, and then other people, it's leading into coaching and consulting around prospecting and content. In fact, I just named something that I've been doing and it never had a name because I didn't come up with it. My clients came up with it. I do something called collaborative content development. And that's like being a personal trainer for people's LinkedIn content.
Excellent. Okay. And so if somebody wanted to engage with you around some of those areas, how would they get in touch?
So of course they could find me on LinkedIn or my email is beth@bethgranger.com.
Excellent. And why don't you give that fundraising link one more shout out?
Absolutely. It's bit.ly. So bit.ly/LinkedIn Local is back.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Healthcare Confidential, Beth Granger. We really appreciate it and wish you all the best of luck with both the business and the fundraiser.
Thank you for having me and thank you for helping promote the event.
I want to remind listeners that new Healthcare Confidential episodes are available every Monday morning wherever you access podcasts. The show is brought to you by Prescriptive Studios and hosted on Omni Studio. Our theme song is an original composition written and performed by the amazing Patrick Bukarsik. Our production assistant is John Roy. Views expressed on the show are solely those of the host and guests and do not reflect any other entity. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us your feedback and help us continue the conversation by dropping a note on the Healthcare Confidential Facebook page. Be well, everyone.